And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. I hope everybody's doing well out there on this rainy Tuesday in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How you doing?
Doing okay.
Michelle, how we doing?
Living the dream.
Living the dream. We got a lot to get to on the program today. David Poyle joining us at 7 o'clock. We'll have Caroline Fenton coming up at 7:30 and Willie Donick at 8:30, but we begin with, quite frankly, a horrifying situation last night on Monday Night Football as the Bills and the Bengals were playing in Cincinnati, and a collision in the middle of the field between T. Higgins and DeMar Hamlin, safety for the Buffalo Bills. And Hamlin kind of staggers around a little bit, gets up, and then falls over. And what ensued after that was, I don't recall seeing anything ever really quite like it in the middle of a professional sporting event, and was horrifying to watch out there last night. DeMar Hamlin had to receive and was administered CPR on the field numerous times for a long time. The entire Buffalo Bills sideline was out there, joined quickly by Cincinnati Bengals players out there as well. And DeMar Hamlin had to be transported to the hospital where he is in critical condition and remains in critical condition as of this morning. And the Buffalo Bills put out a statement last night that says, quote, DeMar Hamlin suffered a cardiac arrest following a hit in our game versus the Bengals. His heartbeat was restored on the field, and he was transferred to the UC Medical Center for further testing and treatment. He is currently sedated and listed in critical condition. So just a horrifying situation last night on Monday Night Football. And unfortunately, Joe, a horrifying situation that all of us got to see play out in live time. And, I mean, you could tell, look, I've seen enough injuries in football and other sports to know that, you know, we've seen some pretty bad hits happen, right? And guys will get, you know, they'll put on a stretcher or the ambulance will come out, and you're just kind of looking for the thumbs up or whatever it is as they're being escorted off the field. And typically, like, you can usually tell by, like, their teammates' reaction kind of what's going on out there and if they're okay. The reaction of the Bills last night was really difficult to watch. Like, Josh Allen was in tears. You know, obviously Stephon Diggs was in tears. I mean, the whole sideline was struggling out there. It was rough to watch last night. And obviously, you know, before we talk about anything else today, Our thoughts and prayers are with DeMar Hamlin and his family, because that was a truly horrifying situation to watch last night.
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, if you're watching it live, I was jarred by their reaction, because when I saw the play and then they showed the replay a couple of times, I thought it was a concussion. I thought that, you know, basically, and we've seen that before, so we've seen it quite a bit, right, where someone will lose consciousness quickly because of a hit to the head. But when you saw their reaction, you immediately, like, wait a minute, what is going on here? And then quickly, you know, it became clear that it was something really serious. I can't think of anything. I know that Chris Pronger had commotio cordis,
yeah,
if I said that correctly. But he had a similar sort of thing in 1998. But, you know, I remember that. Didn't watch it. Hank Gathers, for anybody who's of a certain age, you know, just an awful, awful situation. He had a heart condition that wasn't diagnosed, and he died in the middle of a basketball game. And, of course, that team went on to, you know, play in the NCAA tournament. But, I mean, I don't think anybody was watching that live. This was like the biggest Monday Night Football game of the year and maybe in years. So a huge audience for this, and you see this unbelievably awful situation unfold. And I can't remember anything quite like it, honestly. I will say, to, you know, of course, thoughts and prayers, and I don't know. I'm not even going to speculate on, like, 9 minutes of – I mean, thank goodness – you know, you have the best possible medical situation there, right there.
Yeah.
But that doesn't, you know, necessarily mean anything. And so, you know, the entire sports world and beyond is going to be touch and go today, waiting for information on this. I will say, I think the ESPN broadcast, I mean, at one point last night, I'm like, I don't know what else these people are supposed to say, you know?
Right.
But at the same time, it becomes a news story, and we all want information on it. So I thought they did well. Yeah, yep. I thought they did really well. And then later, I didn't see it later because I went to sleep, but I've caught up today. I don't know if you guys saw like the Ryan Clark stuff. That was some powerful stuff with Scott Van Pelt about the reality of this game. You can lose your life playing it.
Yeah, like I thought for being in an almost impossible situation broadcast-wise last night, I thought you did as good of a job as you could do. Like at some point, I mean, there's only so much you could say, and you're kind of waiting with everybody else on information to come out. But just a horrifying experience. I mean, you know, they put DeMar Hamlin in the ambulance, and apparently his mother and his family were with him on the way to the hospital there. Just an awful situation. So as the latest update we know, he remains in critical condition. And obviously we'll be keeping tabs on his situation and how that plays out today. I mean, Pete Weber tweeted this out last night. And if you've been a Predators fan for long enough, you'll remember this situation of Yuri Fisher in Detroit. I think it was 2005. Yeah. It was a Predators game. And Yuri Fisher collapsed on the bench. And he went into cardiac arrest too. And that was the last game of his career. Now, luckily, he survived that on that incident. But you know, I remember watching that game as a younger kid back in 2005, and he just collapsed. And then all of a sudden, the game was over. You had to come back and play a few days later. And like I said, luckily, Yuri Fisher was okay. But just not a whole lot of experience with something like this happening. And you're talking about a 24-year-old kid in his second year in the NFL.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's an interesting thing because I think a lot of people I've seen, like, do not show the replay anymore. Like, in fact, I think his brother went on social media, like, stop showing the replay. But, I mean, you're not going to, you know, like, broadcasts will not show it. But, here it is. In fact, I was searching something else, and it's all over Twitter. But it looks like it does. It looks like such an innocuous hit. And, you know, you worry about T. Higgins, too, in this situation.
Right.
I mean, again, T. Higgins is just carrying the ball. He's just playing football. That hit, I mean, there are much harder hits than that all the time in a football game. But you worry about him, too, you know, in a situation like this. The mental health aspect of this situation and, of course, the NFL – one has to make a decision, but the NFL took a lot of crap last night, and now no one wants to admit to the 5-minute thing. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where that came from. I know that Joe Buck said on the broadcast, so it came from somewhere that they gave the players 5 minutes to warm up and play. I mean, that's ridiculous, but good for both coaches for like basically coming together. I know the NFLPA got involved too, but basically it looked to me like the coaches came together and like, yeah, we're getting out of here.
Well, I mean, pretty quickly after that happened, like I was sitting there with my wife and we were watching the game, and it's like, how could you possibly even try to play this game after that, right? Like you just saw one of your teammates go down on the field and somebody had to administer CPR to him before they get loaded up in an ambulance. Like how would playing football at that point is about the furthest thing from your mind. So again, look, I have no idea what happened with the NFL last night and the circumstances that go into it. These situations are typically more complicated logistically than we think they are when everybody's just yelling at the NFL all the time. So I'm very sensitive to that part of it. But like when they started talking about, you know, the game being temporarily suspended, I was like, well, they're not playing tonight. I mean, there's no way you could ask the Buffalo Bills or, for that matter, the Cincinnati Bengals to go out there and play that game after that.
Yeah. You know, well, the logistics, you know, Sam Farmer from the LA Times tweeted something out that somebody who had worked for the NFL Network had a big threat. And it's a great point, you know, as far as like can't, why have they not immediately canceled the game? Well, you don't immediately cancel the game because logistically then you're going to have thousands of people streaming out right then. And you have first responders coming in. So, like, there are – it's more complicated than that. But, yeah, that can be true, and then like the whole idea of these guys, okay, you
five
know,
minutes.
Warm up a little bit, and yeah, like where the heck did that come from? You know, and like the league is saying, but it doesn't really matter. It's someone said it, and it's, I mean, the fact that it got to Joe Buck means someone said it,
yeah,
which is ridiculous, but yeah, I mean, you think about there's a lot, you see a lot of situations where someone gets a concussion or they have a neck injury, And so the everybody's, you know, scared. And you even playing after that, there's no way that's easy, right? Like, you're worried about your teammate. But you at some point get the medical, like, okay, all clear. Or, like, you know, yeah, thumbs up or something like that. You know, you can move your extremities, or, you know, yeah, he's regained consciousness. You get like, news, like, okay, the player is okay. And even that's difficult. But, like, this situation where you actually don't know what the outcome will be, there's no way you can ask someone to play a football game after that.
Well, I mean, like I said, I mean, you could see it on Josh Allen's face, on Stephon Diggs' face. I mean, pick any player on Buffalo and pick any player on Cincinnati for that matter. Like, they showed Joe Burrow and Josh Allen just, like, hugging at midfield. I mean, it was pretty rough to watch last night. So I don't think there was any way, you know, pretty early on you could figure out that a football game was the least of the important things that were going to take place last night. And, you know, obviously now, I mean, we continue to pray and hope the best for DeMar Hamlin, who, as of the latest update, is still in critical condition at UC Medical Center in Cincinnati. So, you know, obviously, you know, the football part of this, the NFL can figure out, and, you know, this is going to throw the schedule off, but that's something as a league and as a sports community, you just figure out as you go, and you focus on the health of the player. We'll have more on this coming up next. Got some of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll do that coming up next. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from FanDuel Sportsbook.
I do. FanDuel Sportsbook, of course, is my official sportsbook. And you know, a lot of reasons for that. It's very easy to use. That's a big part of it. Get paid fast, it's safe and secure. And of course, this week you've got the Titans Jags game. So if you want to do a same game parlay, I would go right now. I would go Titans. I would go under. I would go Derrick Henry anytime touchdowns. Of course, same game parlay. You can combine bets for a bigger payout. You can, of course, do your traditional money line point spread. Live betting within games, player props. And of course, you combine them, you get a same game parlay. If you want to lock it in today on FanDuel, if you're new, you sign up promo code Joe102, get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. Again, promo code Joe102. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Official sportsbook partner in the NFL. Must be 21 or older, present in Tennessee. First online room and wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is now at all but free bets. Expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning, discussing a horrifying situation last night on Monday Night Football between the Bills and the Bengals. DeMar Hamlin, safety for the Bills, collapsing on the field, had to be administered CPR, and is currently in critical condition at UC Medical Center in Cincinnati. Obviously, something that you never want to see happen to anyone, much less on national TV in a football game. And our thoughts and prayers are with DeMar Hamlin and his family today. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier, Joe. I don't recall seeing anything quite like this. I mean, I do remember the Urie Fisher situation with Detroit, and the Red Wings were actually playing against the Predators in that game when that happened. Josh from Nashville points out, like, the only thing I could compare this situation to is when Dale Earnhardt Sr. had the fatal accident in Daytona. And I remember that. I think I was like 8 or 9 years old when that happened.
Yeah.
And I was watching the race, and I remember, like, you didn't know what was going on, and then eventually you found out there. And obviously that was a tragic situation. So, you know, not a whole lot of situations that have happened like this in the history of sports. And, you know, watching it live last night, watching the replay, and just watching everything that transpired, was tough to watch last night.
Yeah, it's just, again, it's like these things happen. And the NASCAR, I'm glad that was brought up, because, you know, actually it was it Ryan Newman not long ago, right, where that in that sport, that is something that from time to time, and of course that turned out, I mean, that was touch and go for a while where you thought had lost his life. And, yeah, no, that's it just in football, you know, you you have a lot of injuries, and we all know, I think, that it's, I mean, frankly, you're certainly risking your health, right? We've had, you know, serious neck injuries, Eric LeGrand from Rutgers. If you want to go back to Daryl Stingley, going back to the 70s, you know, with the Patriots. I mean, but when you talk about something like this, it's just it's just something like I've never seen before. And so I feel like, for the most part, you know, this is also a situation where, like, social media can be so bad, and it has been in some cases.
Yeah.
It has been, of course. But for the most part,
Skip Bayless last night.
Yeah,
was something else.
I just, you know, and I, like, if you go, like, for me, like, I can't go three tweets without someone quote tweeting him, and it's almost to the point where it's almost like, you know what, like, let's stop giving him oxygen. And I know, yep, it's like Skip Bayless. He's, you know, he's got a very, I don't know if it's a popular show, but he's got a very
something
show.
he's got a show.
Fill in the blank show.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just how does he, like how does he tweet that? I don't know. Why does he tweet it, not delete it? I don't know, but also, like, I'm sick of seeing it now.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jerry from Nashville. Jerry, thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. Just one comment. It was comforting to see concern for human life trump money.
Okay. It was. Thanks for the call, Jerry. I mean, it was – yeah, I mean, look. We talked about this last segment. It's a huge game. There's a lot of people there. There's a whole lot that goes into it. So, logistically, like, I couldn't even begin to tell you what the process is like in situations like this. There are people that – are way smarter than me, that make way more money than me, that are in charge of these situations. And, you know, obviously we've talked about it. We've not really dealt with something like this before. So I'm very sensitive to the fact that it's easy to sit there on your computer screen and yell about how they should have canceled the game immediately. It's a little bit more of a complicated situation than that. So I fully recognize that. But to me, Joe, I mean, like, the decision, I think, should have been pretty clear pretty quickly. Like, there's no way you're playing a football game after something like that happens. Like, this is not your typical injury. Like, it's hard enough to watch. Let's say, you know, one of your teammates tears their ACL, right? Like, you're close with those guys. You go to work with those guys every day. You know that their families and their lives and their careers, all these different things. And to watch someone have a season-ending injury, you know, potentially, depending on who the player is, a career-ending injury – like, that's hard enough, and we see people, like, play through that all the time, and they got to reset and refocus. Like, it's different when somebody's literal life is on the line.
Yeah, well, I agree. I mean, think about some of the, like, really bad, you know, like, knee injuries or something like that even, where it's, like, you know, like, a major pain, and you know it's not just even your normal ACL. You know, I mean, how hard is it to be there with your teammate, crying with him, and then, okay, get out there and let's get going, you know? Honestly, early on, I mean, someone tweeted me last night, you know, like, well, let's hope the NFL does the right thing. And my initial reaction was, you know, they're not going to do the right thing. This game's going to happen. They always – I mean, this is a massive piece of TV inventory. That was also before kind of knowing exactly what was going on, you know. I still kind of thought, okay, he's passed out, has a concussion, it's scary. But then, yes, you know, the reaction of the players last night on the broadcast said everything. Like, that told the story before anyone had any information about this.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, Sean McDermott and Zach Taylor last night, I mean, you could tell. And that's about when, you know, Joe Buck's report out there of the five-minute thing, or they're going to be given 5 minutes to warm up and play. And then all of a sudden you looked around and, like, nobody's moving. And nobody's warming up. You're like, yeah, that's not happening. Like, they're not going to go out here and warm up. And when you saw Sean McDermott and Zach Taylor kind of meet together in midfield there with the officials, I mean, you could kind of tell that was going on. You saw McDermott motion for his team to go to the locker room. And, you know, it's got to be such a terrifying situation. I mean, if I'm a player on the team when that's going on, the only thing I really care about at that moment is, like, I want to know what's going on with my guy. Like, that's the only thing I care about at that moment. And, you know, I thought Sean McDermott and Zach Taylor, in an incredibly difficult situation, handled that really well last night.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Major props to them. Someone on the text line talking about Scott Vipaw. I've only seen a couple clips of it because you know, go to bed early, but I've seen a lot of reaction along the lines of, you know, Scott Van Pelt did a perfect job, which I'm not surprised by at all that he would handle this well. And again, some of the Ryan Clark comments are pretty powerful.
Yep. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Brandy, who wants to weigh in. Brandy, thanks for calling in.
Hey, man. I watched it live last night. Like everybody, you could tell how serious it was immediately. I was even explaining to my wife, like, I've never seen anything like this. But with that being said, I feel like the NFL may have kind of gotten the short end of the stick at first. I mean, we don't even know if they were involved, and they gave them 5 minutes at that point. And, like, there's a lot to figure out. You know, this isn't just, oh, canceling the game, and I think people forget that. Like, NFL, you're taking too long. I mean, I feel like they've got a lot to sort through. They've got a lot. It's not that I think that maybe they weren't trying to make the wrong decision. I just think it's not a 30-second decision you can make. And I kind of think even though Skip Bayless's tweet was probably insensitive, I think that was his thought process. It's like, wow, the NFL's got a lot to figure out. Even though it's irrelevant, this is about to be a cluster because this game matters. And it was probably bad timing. But I think people still have a job to do out there, like the NFL. Like, yeah, we've got to figure this out. But they also have a lot to sort through because of that. And I feel like people forget that sometimes, that sometimes it's just not a snap decision when, you know, so much is involved.
Hey, thanks for the call. I mean, yeah, like we said, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it that you got to figure out on the fly. Obviously, you know, you can prepare for something like this, and it's obviously the NFL. You've got all kinds of medical people there. I saw, you know, there was a doctor on Twitter last night talking about, like, well, if this is going to happen, this is a good place for it to happen just because of the amount of response that you have there.
Yeah.
You know, he had, you know, what, 20 people around him there working on him at that time. So, I mean, there is that to it. But you can prepare for something like this all you want, and then it actually happens, and it's just a completely different ballgame.
Yeah, and again, on the NFL, you know, the not canceling right away actually is logistically the smart thing to do. The 5 minutes and get back, yeah, wherever that came from. I mean, that's, you know, absurd, obviously. And, you know, look, again, with the Bayless thing, that's fine if that's your mindset. Sometimes it's okay to not tweet everything, yeah, that crosses your mind. I mean, I've thought too about, gosh, what are they going to do about this game? But guess what? I mean, right now,
last priority on the list.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you don't have to say it.
As Herm Edwards would say, just don't press send sometimes.
There you go.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Dave from Old Hickory. Dave, thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I just want to piggyback on what everyone else is saying regarding the logistical nightmare that was for the NFL. I know it doesn't matter, but it was the reality of the situation, because I think the event was just so unprecedented that that no one really knew. You know, at least I think the hindsight began maybe 20 minutes into it, because for the first 15 minutes, I think everybody was still kind of waiting for him to, you know, get up and then give a thumbs up. So, you know, that's 15 minutes of that time right there. And then once it became apparent that he was not going to get up, then, of course, there's so many other things you have to go through, as you all alluded to. One thing I do want to say, and I'm not an apologist for the NFL at all, but a lot of people are saying, you know, that this, you know, this is just shows how dangerous the sport is. And, you know, it may be out of line to say it, but I'm not sure that this is football related. It did not seem to be football related. If you look at the hit, if that were the case, if you look at that hit, then you may as well cancel the game right now, because that happens almost every play. I mean, there's something else going on with the young man, and prayers out to him and hope that he makes a full recovery. But I don't see, you know, the NFL taking the blame for this. I know it's going to be hard for them to parse, because it happened during a game, it happened after a tackle. But, I mean, there's something else that's going on. I don't see this as being football-related. I think people have to take a moment and look back, because we have the UFC, we have boxing, we have other sports that are immensely popular where people are being extremely violent to each other and are punishing each other in a very, very violent manner. And we don't hear anything about that. But, you know, I think that this is going to increase the calls for safety, increase the calls for maybe, you know, changing the sport from what it is. And I just think people need to keep that in mind, that this does not seem to be football-related. There's another medical condition that's happening there.
Thanks for the call, Dave. I mean, like you said, Joe, I mean, it's a hit that happens – a lot throughout the course of a game. And I have no idea, what the cause of this was. It just, I know this, it was scary as crap out there to watch it.
Yeah, Ben had an interesting text here, which I don't know anything about lacrosse really, but he said, Ben on the text, I said, I think lacrosse added a special pad to the uniforms to prevent commotio cordis, and I may be saying that wrong, from chest trauma that interrupts the heart cycle. So, I don't know. I understand what he's saying, but also, sometimes you see some of the, even concussions, hits that don't seem to be that big, just in the exact right spot can happen. I mean, it is football related. Because it's a hit in a football game, is there something he's more vulnerable? I don't know.
Yeah, Shane on the text line says, probably one of the worst things I've witnessed last night. Closing my eyes, I prayed not just for him to be okay, but to have the most positive outcome possible. And that's the thing. Today, we have obviously big Titans-Jags game coming up later today. There's a whole lot going on in the sports world right now. But, part of today is just going to be hoping and praying and waiting that Damar Hamlin – is okay. So, we'll continue to take your thoughts on this, continue to discuss this throughout the show, and we'll provide any updates if and when they become available to us throughout the show today. As always, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. We'll have more on this coming up next. We'll get into the Titans and Jags. And again, your thoughts at 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Predators General Manager David Poile coming up at 7 o'clock, so looking forward to that conversation with him. Caroline Fenton will join the show at 7:30. Willie Donick dropping by at 8:30 as well. The Predators taking on the Montreal Canadiens tonight at Bridgestone Arena. So we'll talk with David Poile here in about 25, 26 minutes on the show at 7 o'clock. Right now, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We've been discussing the Damar Hamlin situation from the Buffalo Bills last night, transported to the hospital at UC Medical Center in Cincinnati. Obviously, just a really scary incident last night on Monday Night Football. The Bills put out a statement late last night after the game had been called, and as the night went on, they said, quote, Damar Hamlin suffered a cardiac arrest following a hit in our game versus the Bengals. His heartbeat was restored on the field, and he was transferred to the UC Medical Center for further testing and treatment. He's currently sedated and listed in critical condition. So obviously, anytime somebody is in critical condition, that is a huge deal, and our prayers are with him. As this situation goes on, let's go back to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bill from Gallatin. Bill, thanks for calling in.
Hey, it's Dale, but that's okay. I just wanted to comment on how well I thought the broadcasters did the best they could to keep their composure for such an unprecedented event. And you could even tell a lot of times that they were struggling on the commentary to try to keep their composure. And, they pretty much had to ad-lib to get through those segments. And you could tell that even they were very emotionally upset and just about in tears as well.
Yep, thanks for the call. It was pretty clear last night, Joe. You had, first off, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman and Lisa Salters kind of put in that situation where you're trying to gather as much information as possible. You're also trying to be as respectful as possible when something like that is going on. Number one, I thought those three specifically, and even the studio show when they would cut it back to Susie Colbert, Booger McFarland, and Adam Schefter, I thought they did a really good job in a really difficult situation last night, especially if, your mind can wander so many different places when something like that is going on. And they made it clear. They're not going to speculate on anything. They're just going to report what's going on, the facts that are available at the time. And like I said, it was a really difficult situation. To the caller's point, there's the human part of you that takes over too, that when something like that's going on.
Yeah, no, look, I agree. I kind of got into a Twitter conversation last night about, like, I mean, I'm watching it. I'm like, you know what? You got to just, like there's no information and they're struggling and you got to, like, cut away or you got to just. But then again, it's like, okay, so what are you going to do? You're going to put on, you know. you're gonna
run like a 30 for 30.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough situation. It becomes a news story, and so you have to cover the news story. There's no new information, you know, for a long time. So I think they did really well under the circumstances. That's really tough. And while we're giving kudos, Heidi from Dixon says, "I'm impressed they postponed it because of sports betting, fantasy football championship, and TV money. Kudos to everyone." And again, it's like, I mean, ultimately, when you on a human level, understand the severity of the situation and then even consider asking these humans to go out there and, you know, continue smashing into each other for our entertainment. I mean, you can't do that.
No. I mean, it's logistically, there's a lot that goes into it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a pretty easy call not to play the game last night. And, look, I, as far as, you know, the game itself, I mean, it is – an important game, and last night, a pretty good reminder, like, sports are important, and professional sports, we've talked about this before, you know, there's a level of importance to our society, and we're entertained by it, all those things, and obviously people love it, especially in the NFL's case. I mean, it's the most popular sport in our country by far, but last night's also a pretty good reminder that at the end of the day, it is just a game, and there are far more important things in life than the outcome of a football game.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's and it's also a reminder of this game. Now, look, the previous caller, I mean, I agree. We have combat sports. I mean, look, hockey is also high speed, high impact. These things can happen. It was a really interesting text from Ben about lacrosse and this, you know, the pad to protect against something like this. I mean, it's honestly, it's not something I've thought about a ton. The idea of a particularly you know, exact shot that could cause cardiac arrest, you know,
right.
But it has happened. It is a concern, along with, you know, you think about neck injury. That's always been the thing with football.
Oh yeah.
And of course we've come to find out so much more about concussions and CTE and brain damage that can result. I mean, it's an incredibly dangerous game. I mean, look, I do think in a situation like this, I think of like Mike Vrabel. And he refers to this all the time. I mean, he does. You know, and you know, Vrabel, who's all, of course, running out there first thing whenever anybody gets hurt. I mean, you know, there's great reward here. Guys who get to this level, you can make a lot of money, and you can also be in this league short term and really not make that much money,
right?
Which is really what most of the league is. But there is a huge risk here that these guys are undertaking, and I think that should always be kept in mind.
Yeah, and like we said, we're going to keep you updated. If and when information is available on DeMar Hamlin and his status today, we'll keep you updated on that as best we can, not only on our show, but throughout the day here today on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Our prayers continue to be with him and his family. You know, I heard Keyshawn and Jay Will talking about their – excuse me, it was Max and Jay Will talking about this before our show came on. Like, just – trying to put yourself in the shoes of his family right now with this going on, it's just, I can't even imagine what they're going through right now with him in the hospital in that situation.
No. And, you know, it's, yeah, just terrible. And, you know, I assume that, like, the team is there at least, right? Like,
well,
I think they stay in town.
There was a report that the Bills were flying back last night. Obviously, some people have stayed around there.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know how that's – who all's there and how that works, but I did see a report that the Bills were flying out of Cincinnati last night.
Well, you know, the more support, the better, obviously. It's I guess this – so he has a charity, DeMar Hamlin does, which has, you know, what I think was like at 25,000 or something, and it's like at 3 million now. So this these situations do show you the power – well, the power of social media, but also – of humans too. Yeah, so here you go. According to Rachel Bonetta, toy drive. It was a toy drive.
Yeah.
For kids in Buffalo. 2,500 was the goal. It's at 2.5 million. So, but I agree with Tashawn Reed, co-worker at the athletic covers of Raiders. He said, "This is great. I hope something's also started to benefit Hamlin and his family. You know, second year player, it's not like you're, he's, you know, I mean,
right.
who knows where this is going."
Yep, no question about it. Like we said, we'll keep you updated on his status if and when information is available to us. The latest information that we know is that DeMar Hamlin suffered a cardiac arrest following the hit last night and that he remains in critical condition. So our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family. Coming up next, we'll get into the Titans, take a look at the Jags, some comments from Mike Vrabel yesterday, including the confirming of a starting quarterback for the Titans against the Jags coming up on Saturday. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. We'll have David Poyle, Predators general manager, joining the show at 7 o'clock. That's all coming up. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, thank you, Robbie. We've got the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars coming up for an AFC South showdown this weekend. Jags are favored by 6.5. I'm going to take the Tennessee Titans plus the 6.5, but the Jags on the money line. Superbook wants to help you win money in 2023, and they have over 3 decades of sports wagering experience in Las Vegas, so you get the best odds boost anywhere as we head into the football playoffs. Check out their special odds boosts and promotions at superbook.com. Make 2023 the year when you win money from Vegas. Download the Superbook Sportsbook app and place your bets today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every day. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Tennessee Superbook is the number one sports book in Las Vegas. We are live from the 1025 The Game studio, presented by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. We'll have David Poyle coming up to begin the 7 o'clock hour, as we said, monitoring the DeMar Hamlin situation last night from Monday Night Football. If and when there are any updates to pass along to you, we will do our best to have those for you, not only through our show today, but throughout the day here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. In the meantime, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, it's tough to transition from that, and like I said, we'll keep you updated on that as much as we can throughout the show today. Titans do have the game against the Jags coming up on Saturday, and Mike Vrabel naming Josh Dobbs the starting quarterback yesterday. So we talked about yesterday, Joe, would Vrabel name a starting quarterback? Would he not? I think we all knew that Josh Dobbs was going to be the starter for the Titans coming up on Saturday, but Vrabel did name it and did make it official yesterday that Josh Dobbs will be the starting quarterback. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think it's necessarily information that we didn't know, but sometimes coaches – and Vrabel like to provide as little information as possible, especially when you're talking about a win-and-in situation for your division coming up on Saturday. So Vrabel taking the approach of it will be Josh Dobbs, and he has let the players know that, obviously, before he did with the media. And Josh Dobbs, to no one's surprise, the starting quarterback for the Titans on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's makes sense to do it again. It's like we talked about it yesterday. First of all, I mean, I don't think the Jags – are going to be thinking Malik Willis anyway. I mean, it had to be Dobbs. So I think it makes sense to, you know, announce it. I mean, there's some open practice periods this week, although usually that's just individual stuff, so it doesn't necessarily, you know, it's not necessarily giving anything away. But it's the obvious decision, and it's going to be fascinating, you know, to see Dobbs now with this extra time. I guess what would the total number be? Maybe about 16 days or so with the team when he goes in and tries to win the division for the team, which is quite a story.
Yeah, it is. And we'll see how equipped he is to handle that. Now, Vrabel also said yesterday that no decision has been made to this point as to whether or not the window to return is going to be opened up for David Long Jr. So we'll see what happens on that front. We've talked about that last IR spot for the Titans. And I think both you and I would agree that David Long Jr. is probably the most likely candidate and the best use for that last IR spot. We'll see what happens on that front, but they could really use him in this game. And not only use him, but you know, a full-strength David Long Jr. and the impact that he could have in the passing game, in the running game, defending both of those options for the Jaguars could be big if he's back.
Yeah, I mean, it could be the difference. You know, Gibbons has been – you know, good. He's come in and he's been a good story, and I think Monty Rice is getting better. You think about all the different people they've gone through in there. Dylan Cole was making a lot of plays and he got hurt, and obviously Zach Cunningham didn't make a lot of plays, and you know, but hasn't been able to play much, and he's out. And now if you had a trio of Long, you know, Rice and Gibbons, that would be – I mean, Long just makes such a difference all over the place. So if it's not him, I wonder, is there anybody else who it could be? I mean, there's a ton of people to choose from, that's for sure. A lot of people on IR.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you can't save the last IR spot for later, right? I mean, maybe you feel like David Long Jr. can come back next week in a playoff game, but – You got to get the playoffs first for him to be able to come back.
Yeah, it's actually it's an interesting situation because you could bring someone else back, either who isn't totally healthy or isn't as important, or I mean in theory you could wait for Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
In the AFC Championship game.
You could.
I mean, that's, you know, you could do that. But to your point though, that's a really interesting one. Like, if Long's not ready this week, but he would be next week.
It's a tough one.
I mean, so do you use it on someone else? But that's the thing. Is there even anybody to use it on? That's what we have. I have no idea.
Right.
Yeah, and we get two starting offensive linemen who are on IR too.
Yeah.
Well, of course, they're recently put on IR, so that wouldn't even be a this week decision anyway. I mean, Molden,
yeah,
which
I just kind of counted out.
Phillips, I've counted that out too, but he's also there.
Yeah, I mean, logic would tell me that Long would be the most likely guy for that. And, you know, TD told us on Friday that he's at least been, you know, in the locker room and spotted in the locker room. So, you know, we'll wait and see what happens in terms of them getting out on the practice field, what the injury report looks like, if there's any news on that front of him being designated to return. I mean, that would be obviously a good sign there if you're the Titans. But they could really use him coming up on Saturday in this game. Just the different things that he brings to the table. And look, there's a contract situation with him to figure out this offseason. We don't know who's going to be in charge of figuring out that contract situation. So we'll have plenty of time to discuss that with him as they move forward. But, I mean, it's pretty clear. I agree. Like, they've had people step in this year at linebacker that have done a really good job. Like, I think Dylan Cole, even though he's been beat a couple of times, for the most part has done a pretty good job. I mean, Gibbons has come in. I think he's played well, especially given what they've asked him to do. But in terms of just like the instinctual plays that not a lot of people can make, David Long Jr. is near the top of that list for the Titans. They need him in there.
Yeah, he makes a huge difference for this defense. I mean, I thought he was playing at a Pro Bowl level this year before he got hurt. And those guys make plays. They also have made some, you know, they made some mistakes in the last few games, as you would expect. Not to say Long never did, but he just really knows what's going on out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see what the Titans do on that front. And then offensively, with Dobbs being the quarterback, you know, Derrick Henry, another week of rest. You know, Vrabel hesitated to kind of go there yesterday in terms of what the rest could mean for his players. I mean, his response was basically well, we'll see how they perform. We'll see what they look like out there, and that'll determine whether or not it was good for the players, which I understand that approach, but you would have to think, especially maybe not even as much for Henry. Like, Henry, it's good to get him as fresh as possible heading into this game. But for guys like Jeffrey Simmons who've been dealing with something all year long, like, I can't help but let my mind go there of, all right, well, how much could not stressing your ankle out for a week and then being basically 2 weeks, it'll be – almost exactly, it will be two weeks since they played when Jeffrey Simmons is back on the field on Saturday for the Titans against the Jags. You can't help but think about how much that could help him in that game.
Yeah, and then 2 weeks for Denico Autry, who was good, came back for that Houston game and immediately, well, especially it took a few series, but before long he was wrecking the game like he does. So both those guys sitting for 2 weeks, what does that mean? Now, that's where it all starts for the Titans in terms of trying to win this game.
Yeah, and, you know, Autry, it was concerning to see the biceps because it was a different injury than he was dealing with when he came back the first time. So hopefully that's all good to go this week. I mean, we've not really seen, we talked about this the other day, we've not really seen very much of full-strength Denico Autry and full-strength Jeffrey Simmons at the same time this year. I mean, Simmons had the ankle injury early on this season, so there's not been a whole lot of those two completely healthy and full-strength together. And look, I don't know that they're going to be completely healthy in this game, but they're, you would stand to reason, especially from Jeffrey Simmons' standpoint, that he'd be a lot closer to that than we've seen based on just the rest alone.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, and that's he has to wreck the game. I mean, it, you know, that's what they've got to do. They got that side of the ball. The bar for the offense is, can you get to 20 points? The bar for the defense is, can you be like a top five NFL defense for a day?
Yeah.
There's a, I mean, it's unfair,
two different
things. That's just the reality of the situation.
No question about it. Titans taking on the Jags coming up on Saturday night. On Saturday Night Football, going to be quite the environment down in Duval, and we'll see what happens on that front. We'll have a whole lot more to get into with the Titans and the Jags a little bit later in the show today. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators General Manager David Poile. The Preds taking on the Montreal Canadiens at home tonight at Bridgestone Arena. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.